Yeah, I'm going to have access to that later on.
Whatever it is, just hit escape when you want it.
Just hit escape? Okay. Okay. So my apologies. So Marjorie Goldstein is not able to be with us today, and our other staff is not able to be here either, so I'm pleased to be able to be here on their behalf. As mentioned, our project is increasing scientific literacy about addiction with deaf high school students. Most recently, NIDA has taken the initiative of increasing scientific literacy about substance use as a brain disease with the general population, in particular with general high school students. So we need to make sure that deaf high school students also have the same access to that information. And our project, the goal of our project was to develop a curriculum that would be computer-based in American Sign Language with English captions and visual graphics to teach the neurobiology through the study of addiction. There are very few science curricula available today that target the specific learning and language needs of deaf adolescents. Most of the science curricula that are available are designed for hearing students, and they often have a reading level that may be too high for some deaf students, and the material is then interpreted into American Sign Language and taught in the classroom by the teacher. Our curriculum teaches basic neurobiology through the study of addiction and is designed to be used in grades 9 through 12 with in high schools for the deaf. As I mentioned, this research took place in two phases, and the first phase we conducted focus groups of deaf students, and we did in-depth interviews with teachers who teach science in deaf high schools, and we wanted to get an idea of what are the specific learning and language needs that we would need to address for our curriculum. NIDA developed its own curriculum to meet the general high school population, and the name of that curriculum was The Brain, Understanding Neurobiology Through the Study of Addiction. So they're basically teaching neurobiology using addiction as an example. So we used that curriculum as a guide, and we took out some of the essential concepts that we thought would be necessary. And we did in phase one also, we developed a prototype. And the prototype was basically one lesson where we had digitally videotaped American Sign Language translations. We had graphics and visuals to support those translations, and we had English captioning. And we brought that prototype back into the high schools for the deaf and showed it to focus groups of deaf students. And we also had our teachers review the curriculum. So the feedback that we received at that time set the framework for what we would do in phase two. And what we learned is that deaf students really loved the idea of having a lot of visual support to the scientific concepts. They also liked the idea of storytelling as a way of connecting with the material, because we had told a story in the prototype about how science has evolved in learning about brain functioning. And so the three basic learning and language needs that we needed to address and were identified was, of course, that the predominant language was ASL in schools for the deaf. So our curriculum would have to be in ASL, that we needed a lot of visual learning to be able to support our material, and that we needed English captioning that would match the American Sign Language, but also be supportive and understood by the students. So our phase two research, we went back to the NIDA's curriculum. We took out the material that we felt we wanted to include in our curriculum, and we developed an English script. The English script was primarily what would be used by our translation team, which was deaf and hearing professionals working together to come up with the best ASL translations for this material. The storyboard goes hand in hand with the script and gives the visuals and graphics that we want to use to support the ASL signing. So we worked with our consultants in that vein as well. So once we had the ASL translations digitally videotaped and that we programmed the visuals, the graphics, and the captioning, we were able to come up with a full-scale prototype, in a sense, again, of lesson one. So this lesson one had all of the components. It had the English captioning, the ASL, the graphics, but it was a much advanced technological version from the first phase. So we brought that back to the schools, and we had 4 focus groups, again, of deaf high school students, and we also had our consultants and our teachers in schools for the deaf review this material. So basically what had happened then is we got that feedback, and we learned that we sometimes needed to have more graphics in one section, and we needed more ASL in another section, so there began this ongoing iterative process of going from the students to the consultants to the research team, changing the graphics, and so on, and that was many, many months in the process. Till we ultimately have our full-scale curriculum, and we've tested our curriculum in 4 real-time classes. And our curriculum overall consists of 3 lessons, and each lesson has several modules underneath that. The first lesson is basically the brain, basic brain anatomy and function. And we talk a lot about the reward system here because we're teaching about drug use, so that's an important system for students to understand. And then we talk about how studying the brain has evolved over time, and I'm thinking now is a good time to just give you guys an overview, a visual of what the curriculum looks like. So let's hope we can get back to where we started from. Okay. Oh, I use this, got it. Thank you. So I'm going to show you the introduction to the brain, the lesson on basic brain anatomy. So this is our teacher. He kind of goes through the curriculum as our teacher, and he's saying, "Hi, what's that? You want to see what the brain looks like? Sure, I'll show you." So he talks about the brain being very complex. It weighs about 3 pounds. It's similar to the weight of a small kitten. There's billions of brain cells. And your brain basically controls all of your body's activities. You need your brain to enjoy a meal, to breathe, even underwater, to play games, to paint a picture, and to ride a bicycle. It allows you to respond to everything that you experience. Your thoughts and your emotions, if you're happy or sad, and your actions, like throwing a ball or giving a hug. Where do these start? In your brain. So that was just to kind of give you an idea. Yeah. Resume. Great. Huh. We're going to the curriculum. That's great. So that basically is an overview of lesson one. Lesson two, we're focusing on how messages travel in the brain. And I think I mentioned earlier about how the students told us that they really wanted to have storytelling to support the material, and here is where we really do that a lot. We introduce a character named Anne. She's a deaf high school student, and she is popular, she does well in school, she works in the bookstore, and one day she goes to a party, and she sees people using cocaine, she's curious, and she decides that she wants to try that. So throughout lesson two, we show Anne's normal brain when she hasn't used cocaine and how it functions. And then we talk about how when she uses cocaine, there's an interruption of normal neurotransmitter functioning. And we're looking at dopamine as our example, of course, because we're using cocaine, and that's the neurotransmitter most at work. Then we talk about the process of change from voluntary use to addiction, and also what happens to her life, her social life, her educational life, the legal consequences of her addiction. For example, she gets fired from the school store because she has to steal in order to get money to do drugs. So I thought I would show one quick section here as well, because we really have the pictures that support the more complex scientific concepts. Okay, so here's what's happening in Anne's brain when she snorts cocaine. So cocaine fills up the reuptake pumps, and of course we described all of this earlier in the curriculum, what a reuptake pump is, an ascending neuron, a receiving neuron, the synapses. So here we're talking about how cocaine fills up the reuptake pumps used by the dopamine to go into the synapse. So then it goes back across the synapse and it has no place to go, so it collects there in the synapse. So more dopamine acquires than usual. And it continues to go back into the receiving neuron with no place to go. So this gives Ann an intense feeling of pleasure, and that's what we call a cocaine high. And the effects of the cocaine high last about 20 minutes in the brain. And after that, the cocaine begins to break down. The extra dopamine leaves the synapse, and the high goes away. And then we talk about, and then the third lesson is basically addiction stories. And the addiction stories are three deaf adults who tell their personal stories about their addiction. They're all of different ethnic backgrounds and ages. They talk about their initiation into drug use, how they became addicted, the problems they had with their families, friends, and coworkers, school, etc. Each of them had legal problems. And then they talked about their efforts in treatment, their relapses, and where they currently stand in terms of their recovery. There's several key features to this curriculum, and you may have seen some of them. Of course, ASL is the primary mode of communication. We use English captioning using a method. We determine the English captioning using a method called considerate text, which I may have a chance to explain. There's highly visual presentations of scientific concept, and then, of course, the storytelling, which Anne is a good example of that. There's interactivity with the curriculum, so teacher or a student can control the pace of the lessons. There's self-test and discussion questions, and the glossary has visuals attached with it. I mentioned the use of considerate text. Basically, for the English captioning, we wanted to use simple rather than complex sentences. We highlighted new vocabulary because we anticipated that we might need to introduce terms that students may or may not have been exposed to, so we wanted to put that in our glossary. And we used highly visual presentations, which you saw, the storytelling, which you saw. The self-test questions can be set to appear throughout the curriculum so that they can see them throughout, or they can see them at the very end. If a student answers wrong, the curriculum will automatically go back to the place in the curriculum where that information is signed. If they answer right, they go to the next question. In the next section, discussion questions were provided basically for the addiction stories to elicit conversation that hopefully ties the addiction stories to the content of the lessons before that. And then, of course, the features, they can fast forward, they can go back, they can pause at any time, they can navigate through the topic bars, or they can just go forward throughout. So basically, the results of this were, when we brought it back into the real-time classrooms, this was a lot of excitement. The students were thrilled to see a curriculum that targeted their specific language needs and their learning needs. It was in American Sign Language. The teachers would say that they hadn't been able to get their students to pay that close attention for a while. They did show increased knowledge, so when the teachers went back to review with the students, they showed an increased knowledge of the material. We're still going through the debugging phase of the actual curriculum, but we are taking it to do some pre- and post-tests as well. It was user-friendly, and they all would like to see more curriculum using a similar format. Thank you.